So happy it's Thursday. It's ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin, a.k.a. Big Mac.
And myself, Ryan White. We have a great studio with us today. I've got Eric Phillips and Kylene Stemmons from Georgian Law. Thank you for joining us
today. Thank you very much, Ryan. We always enjoy being here. Great show.
And we've got Mr. Pell from Pell. Mr. Pell Interiors with us.
Thank you. This is my first time being here. I'm thrilled.
We will be gentle, I promise.
No, we won't.
Bring it on.
Well, our first article today talks about the housing recovery and how it's happening, but slowly.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. But it's happening. It's happening.
And hard not to pick up a paper these days and see something positive about the real estate market.
Which is only going to help move the process forward is the positive news. One of the most important things that I want to point out from this article was it's showing that right now there's 3.2 months worth of housing inventory on the market, which is down enormously. We talk all the time about how difficult it is for an entry-level buyer to get into this marketplace, and this is one of the reasons. There's almost nothing out there to buy when you're out there shopping. And I know, David, you're working with at least two people that are trying to buy stuff. It's hard.
Yeah, what we're finding right now is that the reverse of the issue of appraisal is happening right now. For example, the banks are pricing homes way higher than they should be, and the home buyers are looking at these values and they're going, it's not worth it, you know? And so some of the houses are lingering on the market. I was in conversation with a seller this morning, and she wondered, is my house actually going to appraise? And, you know, I had to think about that for a second, because in the past we had appraisal problems. And I'm not here to say that we don't have appraisal problems anymore, but we used to have to rely on history. So the historical sales, basically everybody was looking down at the market. If a home sold for $400,000, the next couple months it was selling for $375,000. Now people are looking up at the market. So if a home sells for $400,000 and there's no inventory, the next one's $435,000.
Right. Right. We're making history all of a sudden.
Yeah, we're making history now. So it's helping everything. It's helping the refinance market. It's helping a lot of people not be in short sale situations like they used to be. But I got to say, according to a lot of the information we've got a 3.4-month supply of houses right now.
Yeah, that's almost nothing. And just to give you an example of what that compares to, 4 years ago, 2008, we were sitting on a 16-month supply. So something like 25% of the homes on the market then were out there 4 months ago, 4 years ago. And that is really exacerbating the buying process and making it that much harder to buy a home and pushing prices up.
Yeah,
I would imagine you guys see some evidence of that. I mean, you're in the fixing people's credit doing that thing. It's probably more popular than ever right now.
Well, not only is it more popular, but there was just some data released last week that shows that current qualifying, the standard qualifying for new home purchase right now, I believe the average FICO score is a 769, where, you know, a few years ago we were dealing with 640s, and the average down payment is 21%. So
wow.
To me, the significance of that is, you know, you have multiple offers coming in on properties. Our potential home buyers now need to be more qualified now than ever in order mm-hmm. to get into that loop to become a purchaser again.
Sure, and compete against all cash buyers, especially if you're in the entry level, you know, the FHA, VA. It is hard to buy a home with no money down, even though the programs are out there.
A lot of banks don't like
overrun.
To see it. You know,
for
a lot
sure.
of investors, I mean, a lot of home sellers don't want to see FHA. They don't want to see VA.
Well, yeah, only because you have a pool of qualified borrowers now, you know, that we didn't
cash,
have before. All cash,
20%
high FICOs, 20% down. And when you have this sort of spirit amongst the lending community that we don't want to repeat the disaster of 06 and 07, so we're going to tighten down, and they're encouraging that market.
Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but it's almost like the rich keep getting richer.
Well, it'll always be that way.
Everybody looks at the marketplace and says, I'm ready to buy a house right now. And I mean, Mr. Pell, you've been doing interior design for 36 years, and this spans a lot of different industries. And what I mean by that is that when there's equity, people are spending money on improving their situations and things like that. Are you feeling the market like we are?
Absolutely. In the last couple years, it's been slower until probably January of this year, the phones started to ring like they used to, and business is great again. It's wonderful. I am very busy, but there were some of my designer friends are saying they went through 18 months. Well, I went through 24 months of small little home improvement projects.
Right.
And that's not the market that I do.
Have you seen this before? I mean, having done interior design for 36 years, you must have.
Thankfully, no.
This is the first time.
This is the first time because just by the way life takes its courses, when I first moved to California, which was 25 years ago, that's when frequent flyer miles were coming into, you know, being popular. And not being native Californian, I've got projects that I can identify as either residential or commercial projects in 19 states. So not the entire country was having a problem in those last 36 years. So I always had projects somewhere else that I was flying back and forth to. But the entire country has been affected this time. Mm-hmm. And flyer miles or anything, you know.
Well, I mean, even though we're talking about an increase in value and an increase in buyer volume and essentially a decrease in inventory right now, the inventory is flawed somewhat because 30% of the homes that are on the market right now are underwater.
Yeah, it goes on to say specifically in San Diego that one-third of San Diego County borrowers owe more on their home than it's worth, which is a staggering number. I mean, that has to resolve itself before we can really get out of this. And there's a lot of ways to get it resolved, but that's the underlying problem.
Well, you know, people are putting their house on the market and they're getting multiple bids. People are raising the prices of their home. People are putting their houses on the market as a short sale, and they're finding out that they're getting offers over asking, maybe in a position now that they're not actually going to be short anymore. I mean, it's just that kind of market that we're in right now. Investors are buying all of the backlog inventory.
Yeah, there is plenty of investor money out there. We have a relationship with Aslan Real Estate Group. We offered last time. We have a list of their pre-listed properties, not on the market yet, they're in the process of renovating. If you want to be on our list to get sent the new properties as Aslan buys them that are not yet on the market exclusively for my listeners, the real estate helpline here is 888-551-2593. 888-551-2593. I'll put you on the list. We'll email you the new properties as they come out, get in front of the marketplace, and find out what's going to be for sale before everybody else does, give you the inside track as far as that goes.
Well, Realtor.com came out and said that we are 2.4% up on contracts month over month. 2.4% month over month over buyers writing contracts to purchase homes, and we're 12.4% year over year. So we are really picking up some steam right now in the real estate market. At the same time, you know, we've got an election coming up.
Mm-hmm. Election
right?
coming up.
Right?
Yep.
And, you know, the end of the year is generally a slower time for real estate.
Well, more good news. There's new mortgage rules taking effect. And what I think is most important here is they are no longer allowing dual tracking. And here's what that means. If you're a homeowner and you're in the modification process currently, or previously, I guess I should say, the banks were able to, in addition to going through the modification process, also begin the foreclosure process, being at filing the notice of default and being prepared to file the notice of trustee sale should the modification take place. Well, that is no longer the case. They have to see their way through the modification before they can begin the foreclosure process. I'm not really sure how this is going to impact the marketplace. Does that mean that nobody's going to get approved for a modification?
Well, my interpretation of that is I believe that dual tracking also applies to the short sale, because we have had numerous scenarios come our way where clients have negotiated through short sales. It's in short sale negotiation, and the bank still pushes forward with the foreclosure.
Right.
So you can imagine that creating false hope upon false hope, and then the property is still yanked from under you.
Mm-hmm.
So we completely endorse the dual tracking. I mean, if you're going to – homeowners have to have the opportunity to try to resolve these issues. Our homeowners did not create this. This was created outside of us.
Or
you know, by banks and whomever.
They could just simply be honest with the homeowner. I mean, a lot of times I'm on the phone with a homeowner and they say, I'm in loan modification right now. Things are looking pretty good. And I say, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have a job? No. Okay, so how in the world are the banks going to approve your short sale when they can't see that this is going to be a sustainable type of investment for them?
Well, yes, and certainly there's perhaps some rules that need to be put in place for the approval of the modification. But what I think is important here is, just like you said, once the modification is in place or the short sale is in place, there's no looming foreclosure to derail the process. And you said you're on with dual tracking, but I think you really mean you're on with the new law that forces them to do them separately so they don't get foreclosed on.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, why create a false hope for somebody who's already distressed and have the, you know, lull them into a false sense of security thinking they're going to modify, we're going to short sale, we're doing the right thing. And at the same time, the bank that you think is cooperating with you is working behind your back to take the property away from you and, you know, and damage you even further.
Well, I would like to think that this would mean that they would speed up the modification too. I mean, every homeowner out there is wanting to be approved. But short of being approved, they'd want to know within 9 months. I mean, if we could shore up that process, certainly would be a benefit to everybody.
Well, approval, it's a gray topic because someone could get approved and not actually like the terms and conditions of the approval. Right.
Sure.
I mean, what if they said, you know, we approve you, we're going to drop your payment by $500, but we're going to put the $500 on the back end and all the back end.
I was just going to say, we're experiencing several calls every week from our clients who have gone through the loan modification process. And it really isn't a loan modification any longer. It's actually a reinstatement. They've missed 8 or 10 payments. You know, the bank agrees to reinstate your loan at your original monthly payment, plus you have $12,000 in arrears. So now they're going to amortize that $12,000 over a 12 or 24 month timeline. So now you actually have a higher payment than what you started with, and where's your benefit?
Right, forbearance. So you fought, right?
Yeah, forbearance, reinstatement, yeah, same kind of thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't do you any good when you're all said and done. You're back to current, if you will.
You'll never get out of it.
But still can't make it.
And you've damaged your credit. And you know what I always try to, you know, explain to my clients in the broker events that we do, the bottom line of a loan modification is whatever modified interest rate you're requesting, your income, you have to have 31% debt to income, bottom line. Okay, you have to be able to show the bank that whatever that new amount, the new payment is, that you have 31% of your available income to service that debt. And that's why most loans aren't modified and they don't get approved.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Does make a lot of sense. And really, your expertise, as you mentioned there, are on credit repair. Mr. Hell, of course, your expertise there on interior design. When we come back, we will dive a little deeper. We're going to have Tiffany Hazelar on with Dedicated Credit Repair to do this week's credit repair myth buster tip. It's FICO versus FACO.
I love that.
When we come back.
The best part about being smarter than everyone else is that we don't have to listen to all the talking heads. We don't have to listen to all the rumors and all the graybeards who think they know how this stuff really works. The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills, any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. 1235 or go online sandiegobankruptcy.us.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. Are you looking to buy a new or used car? Would you like to get a special deal just for listening to the show? All you have to do is go to bestcardealsandiego.com and get connected with my friends at Toyota of Escondido. I guarantee you get a great deal and walk away happy. They'll give you the most for your trade and the lowest price for your new or used car purchase. They have a 12.5-acre facility, so finding the perfect car is easy. By the way, they can finance anyone. If you've had a bankruptcy, short sale, foreclosure, even a repossession, everyone walks away happy at Toyota of Escondido. Just go to bestcardealsandiego.com today. That's bestcardealsandiego.com. Toyota of Escondido is a family-owned and operated company, so you can support the local community, get treated the way you deserve, and ultimately get the best car deal in San Diego. Go to bestcardealsandiego.com right now. That's bestcardealsandiego.com. And get the best possible deal on a car in San Diego today. BestCarDealSanDiego.com.
We are back. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin, a.k.a. Big Mac.
And myself, Ryan White. In the studio, we have Harold Pell with Pell Interiors. Thank you, Harold, for joining us.
Thank you.
And Kylene Stemmons and Eric Phillips with Georgian Law.
I'll just say thank you for both of us.
Okay, sounds good. Also on the phone, we have Tiffany Hazelar with Dedicated Credit Repair. How you doing, Tiffany?
Hey, Tiffany.
Hello. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Tiffany, enlighten us.
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about this very fun credit topic called FICO versus FACO.
I love it.
Unfortunately, just when the real estate market got a little bit more complicated, now we have to throw in some confusing things with credit. But basically, consumers are not always aware that there are hundreds of different scoring models available. Experian uses their own scoring model. They have multiple scoring models, but the one they're the most known for is called the Plus Score. I know TransUnion and Experian and Equifax also sell their own proprietary scores to consumers, but none of the credit bureaus go out of their way to tell consumers that the ones that they've just purchased won't be used or purchased by lenders. So realistically, consumers are going online, pulling credit scores, and not being aware of the fact that they're completely different scoring models than what true lenders would see if they were pulling a true FICO score.
Wow, that certainly does make for a confusing time. Is there a resolution to this?
Well, I don't know that there's necessarily a resolution to it other than just understanding when each model is being used. I think the main thing to understand is that the Vantage score is the one that's the most heavily promoted through the credit bureaus. They try to really get consumers to go online and purchase what they consider to be a credit score, but it's really a Vantage score. And so if consumers can be leery of going online and just buying any score that they see, they need to be real clear that if they're not buying something that says FICO next to it, they're actually buying either a Vantage score or something similar. The Vantage score, for example, has a credit score range anywhere from 501 to 990, whereas the FICO score goes from 300 to 850 with completely different areas being emphasized on the credit model.
Mm. Well, so I could get a substantially higher Advantage score that would be meaningless if I'm to get a loan from any lender, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I know that the credit bureaus back in, I believe it was May of 2006, launched this new and improved scoring system called the Vantage Score. Which
everything's
I say
new
with,
and improved.
Well, yeah, exactly. And they launched it with the idea that it was going to be better for consumers because it took into consideration far more factors. But again, the complication lies when lenders aren't purchasing that version of the score. So there's really, essentially, it's almost useless.
I absolutely agree. Hi, Tiffany. It's Eric. How are you doing?
Hi.
And I absolutely agree. You know, I remember when Vantage Scores first came out, and the whole idea was to have uniform scores for merchants, you know, to make decisions with. And, you know, after we researched it, what we discovered was, you know, creditors pay a subscription fee to either of the three bureaus to report this information. How are you going to have uniform credit reporting? So I absolutely support what you're saying, and we encourage everybody to use FICO as opposed to Vantage Scores.
Yeah, it's important. I also am real leery whenever lenders are referring clients to use annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com, of course, is relatable to FICO. However, if you choose to dispute a derogatory trade line once you've been to annualcreditreport.com online, the fine print of the website basically states that they are circumventing the Fair Credit Reporting Act and allowing themselves up to 45 to 90 days to investigate a dispute. Ultimately, what that does to the consumer, of course, is make their likeliness of getting an item deleted far less. The other thing I just want to mention, I guess, in closing here is just in the scenario, we see this a lot where people want to know the difference of how Vantage scores versus FICO scores are, how they come into play. I just used the example of opening a bank card. If a person is going with the Vantage scoring model, opening up a brand new bank card because they lack important trade lines on their credit, that person would actually see about a 20-point increase, whereas if somebody had the FICO model that they were using, that same action of opening up a brand new bank card or trade line would actually deduct points from their score. So what's happening out there is consumers are given mixed advice, and I always caution our realtors and lenders to be real careful about where the advice is coming from, because, of course, if you're trying to get a FICO score increase, you can't always follow what financial sense would dictate or, in some cases, even common sense for that matter.
What consumer credit website would you recommend?
Yeah.
We recommend exclusively myfico.com, not only for credit scoring, but also for just credit information. Being in the real estate industry, consumers are so starving for accurate information. We have real estate attorneys, bankruptcy attorneys, et cetera, that refer to us all day long because the information that they've provided clients is either outdated or, in some cases, it's not completely taken into consideration all the factors that the client's trying to consider when they're trying to think about this short sale or foreclosure consequence or maybe even deed in lieu, et cetera. So whenever I give information, I always direct people to myfico.com so they can check the source.
That's good information, right, Tiffany. Thank you very much. And once again, guys, Tiffany Hazel, our dedicated credit repair, is giving free enrollment to their Easy Pay system. It's $350 value, free enrollment to dedicated credit repair system. The real estate helpline here, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. That's Thanks a lot, number. Tiffany. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, there's our segue.
Well, you know, first of all, I just want to say, you know, of all my numerous years in this industry, it's really nice to hear from somebody who has correct information.
Hey,
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Tiffany.
Oh, I chose Tiffany.
Yeah, we're definitely not talking about you.
I chose Tiffany. Yeah,
Tiffany does an excellent job, I have to say. You know, she's
all right, Mr.
Very,
take
very
the credit.
She does, yeah. Well, that's what it is.
Well, so let's keep talking about credit.
Well,
I mean,
okay.
Why not? Seems
it
like
doesn't
the
get more
day,
important
right?
than that.
Yeah, you know,
I mean,
we have a whole different spin to everything, you know, as a law firm versus credit repair. And where do you want to begin? This
well,
is such a wide topic.
I think let's talk about, you've been in the credit business. We get it. You're a law firm. You're a lawyer, an attorney. A couple different ways you go about it. But in general, how long have you been in business?
36 years.
That's
and I know
long
I look great
time.
For a guy who's 29. I've survived it really well, and I enjoy the business. But, no, you know, 36 years, and we practice, you know, real estate law, consumer and commercial credit. And, you know, these are such sensitive times. You know, 10 years ago, our typical client was somebody who didn't understand the score, and it was on advice from their local realtor. You're at a 618, you need a 640, contact Georgian and just get the case done. You fast forward 10 years, you know, in today's world, everybody, regardless of what their economic situation is, everybody knows their FICO, everybody knows the value of their property, everybody understands a loan mod and all the other kind of gimmicks and things that have gone on out there. And the bottom line is it requires people like Tiffany, my firm, whatever it is, to inform our community of what's really happening out there and what's going on.
Well, in this real estate economy, people are trying to get loans. I mean, they're seeing the market go up in value, and they're thinking, hey, I want to jump in, you know? So it doesn't get more important right now to take advantage of those super low interest rates. I mean, right now, what was it they were saying? There's 30%. We're at a three-year high right now for loan applications.
Three-year high.
Three-year high right now. I mean, so if you're a loan officer out there, you should be a busy guy.
Killing it. Well, I think it's important to note, and, so, and we've talked a couple times, but you're local.
Yes.
You're here.
Yep.
You just moved your office, actually.
I did.
Where are you at now?
We went from Carlsbad to Oceanside.
Carlsbad to Oceanside.
Right.
Okay, good enough. And you've got ample results. I mean, tons and tons of cases. How many times have you done this?
Well, it depends on which service. I mean,
well,
a business
we're getting
so many
there.
Years,
we're
thousands and thousands of
stuff.
Client cases that we've done.
Thousands. Okay, right. Perfect. And so really getting down to the meat of this, I'm asked all the time, what are the benefits and deficits, credit benefits, of a short sale as opposed to foreclosure? I'm asked this a question all the time. And in general, it kind of seems the credit score itself is, you know, not drastically different, but it's that black mark of a foreclosure on your credit score that is going to make you unlendable for some amount of time. Isn't that it? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, yes. And you know, there's a tremendous amount of misinformation. To kind of take a half a step back, you know, we have a real estate community that tells their clients, if you do a short sale, it's only affects your credit for 2 years, or if you do a foreclosure, it affects your credit for 7 years. The first thing clients have to understand is there is no such thing as a short sale credit rating. So when you hear the 2 year and 7 year distinction, that's underwriting criteria. It has nothing to do with the credit scores. And if you look at credit scoring as a model, the model is based on the idea that you're heading towards bankruptcy. So the more recent the negative, the more damaging to the score. So your real estate is always your biggest piece of credit. So if you can imagine, the banks are telling you to stop making the payments to encourage the hardship to create the short sale without explaining to the clients what damage that's going to do. We typically see a 150-point drop within 30 days.
Well, let's back up for there for a second, because you really went fast over a topic I think is worth mentioning, and that is that the banks are literally telling their clients that you need to go short. I mean, you need to stop making your payments in order to do a short sale.
Well, beyond that, they encourage you to stop making the payments, do the short sale to create the hardship, again, without explaining what damage that's going to do. And, for example, as many years as we've been in San Diego, just as an offshoot, I deal with a tremendous amount of government employees. And the point of that is we have clients that are doing short sales on advice of the banks and advice of the realtors, trying to do the right thing and not realizing that that's going to impact their security clearances, their employment opportunities, because it's considered a defaulted loan and it's a black mark and challenges the security clearances. It's terrible.
So I want to go back even further.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Now, again, I think that there's one thing to talk about credit score, and a lot of our focus has been on the actual score, but is the underwriter's criteria of not allowing a loan for 2 years versus 7 years. That is one of the big distinctions between the two, correct?
Well, there's the other databases that get drawn into this equation of qualifying somebody in today's market. And the biggest database that underwriters are using right now is MERS. MERS is an acronym for Mortgage Electronic Registration System. So when you do a short sale, a deed in lieu, or a foreclosure, that information, not only does it affect you with the three credit bureaus, but it's inputted into MERS. So as title, underwriting, anybody checks as they're going through your application process and they do a MERS check and they see that information, you're going to be disqualified,
right?
Which is why we have to encourage our clients to use a law firm. If you go to it, and I'm not putting anything down about credit repair, it's just the fact that you have to be able to clear MERS in order to bring people back into the market, and the only way you can clear MERS is by court order.
Which is the end result game, is to get the derogatory off, not just increase your credit score, but meet underwriting criteria so you can get a loan again.
Exactly.
That's the idea.
Exactly.
That's
and I'll give you a better example of that. The government went to FICO about a year ago and said, we want you to reduce the score damage for our short sellers so that we can encourage short sellers to come into the market. So now we have a situation, and you guys have probably all seen this, where you have clients who have not made a payment for 5 or 6 months
sure.
and negotiating
or
a short sale.
Years.
And they have a credit score of 700,
right?
Okay, which is wonderful.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
We see them every day, which is wonderful, but the problem is the information is still in MERS. So even though your score is intact, the information is being moved around and published against you.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That certainly makes sense. And the necessity to get it out of all the other bureaus is really where your program is developed. And so what we're going to do, we're going to dig in really deep to getting a short sale off your credit report so you can go out and get a loan.
That's the idea. I love that.
When we come back, you're going to tell us how you can get a short sale off a credit report and make a buyer able to get a loan right away.
Kyleen, myself, and Mr. Pell are ready.
Okay.
Okay?
The Real Estate Helpline, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the United States own mutual funds. Makes me wonder how many of these people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to try and figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is willing to do a free risk cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, call the helpline today and get a free analysis so you can find out how much these investments are really costing you. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much? Dan will tell you this for free, and he'll also give you a risk analysis snapshot so you can find out if you're taking on more risk than you should be. Just call the helpline today at 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
Pacific Coast Commercial is a San Diego commercial real estate and property management company. Are you a business owner looking for the perfect building to purchase or lease? Or a landlord tired of high vacancies and the day-to-day challenges of tenants and property management? Pacific Coast Commercial handles the sales, leasing, and property management of all asset types throughout San Diego County. Let us show you why Pacific Coast Commercial is the right choice for you. Call Vince today at 619-469-3600. That's 619-469-3600. Or PacificCoastCommercial.com.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Hotline, Real Estate Hour, where you come to find out how to make more money. We are here right now with Harold Pell from Harold Pell Designers.
Thank you.
And we're here with Eric Phillips with Georgian Law.
Hi.
And we're diving into exactly what we can do to get that short sale removed from that credit report.
All right, Eric. Short sold my home.
Okay.
I haven't made payments for like 10 years. Successfully got a short sale. I went through 12 buyers. 12 buyers. Last guy stuck. I got $50 in relocation assistance. I'm pissed. I haven't opened my mail from the bank for years, right? But I didn't trash the house.
Went through it. And you saved a lot of money.
I put some money in the bank, but I also took some to Vegas. That didn't work out so well. I'm mad. I want to go buy a house again. You claim I can do so. How do we do it?
Okay. When you do a short sale as opposed to the foreclosure, there's a federal and a state statute that required that the loan is to be marked paid in full. And the banks aren't doing that. The banks are marking the loans one of two ways, either settlement accepted or collateral sold. The problem with either of those two credit ratings is it's considered to be a defaulted loan. Because it's considered a defaulted loan, not only does it suppress your credit score and it's damaging at the three credit bureaus, but that defaulted activity is what's being reported to MERS, which basically freezes you out of the market. So if you can imagine, and this is really what our position is, you know, to be able to help our clients, and this is my little soapbox for a second, you know, for clients who didn't just sit in the house for 2 years, stop making payments, walk away from it, take out all the appliances and whatever it is, for those of our clients that took the time to call their banks to negotiate correctly, to stay in the property, to do the right thing, to try to honor their contracts, to continue to be damaged by the banks with these inaccurate credit reports, accurate credit reporting, disallowing your ability to come back into the market, that's what drove us to develop this program. Not only did myself and my partner, Colleen, go through this, but as well as my eldest daughter. And our whole theory was, you know, we've cooperated. We didn't create this mess. We were never asked if it was okay to lend $800,000 to a husband and wife that work at Home Depot with no money down. I was never asked if that was okay. Yet we have to come in and kind of pick up the pieces from that. Do you like that?
Yeah. I wasn't asked either.
Okay, I wasn't asked.
You asked?
Well, there's a lot of people that actually took advantage of the system. So, you know, not everybody's innocent out there. However, I mean, there were a lot of people that got caught up in this market.
Well, you said it really quick. And so I think this is the important, the crux, the violation.
Okay.
Okay. The violation. Let's go through that
Let's
one more
back.
Time.
Okay. So when you do a short sale, the loan, very simply, is supposed to be marked paid, and it's not.
On your credit report.
On the credit report. It's supposed to be
and
marked
to
paid. As well as to MERS.
Okay, so everybody is supposed to mark just paid, four letters.
Right, just
That's
paid.
It.
In fact, they even went so far as to pass a new law July 1st of 2011 that said on second trustees, because remember we had an issue where when they were doing short sales, if there was a balance owed on the second, we had deficiency seconds that people had to agree to pay that debt off without the security of a home to protect that, you know, whatever.
Unsecured debt.
Yeah, unsecured debt, and that was forcing people into bankruptcy and what have you.
They just filed bankruptcy afterwards.
Yeah, they filed bankruptcy, so that was a real mess. So the government came in, and rightfully so, and said after July 1st, if a second trustee accepts as little as $1, very specific languaging, the loan is considered paid in full. Okay. So the loans are not marked paid in full. Settlement accepted on second trustees because the value of the property has decreased. The lenders have reclassified the loans from real estate loans to basically like a credit card debt, which is why you see charge-off as opposed to settlement accepted because the banks cleverly have reclassified this in order to get the tax benefit. It's just a real mess for our clients.
So that's – I'm wondering here, why would they just not say paid? Because there's a tax benefit for them to say something
to recover
else.
To recover our tax dollars, to recover their perception of a loss that they ultimately created.
So that's why they mark it as something other than paid.
Right.
Got it.
So now we know this information, so we represent our clients in small claims court. We prepare all the evidence for them. We go back to the original bank, and we request to the bank, we point out the statutes and the laws, and we say, please change our client Ryan White's credit information to show a paid status. The bank rejects that. Not only do we request it once, we request it twice. We're doing not only due diligence, but we're creating an evidence package to ultimately get it before a judge. Two requests. Bank ignores a request. At the end of the third, end of the second request, we file the small claims action. Our client is a plaintiff. The bank is the defendant. Two causes of action. One, monetary award. Right now, we're getting anywhere from $1,500 to $4,500 back. As a reward back, and secondly, to have all negative information removed from loan, countrywide loan number 12345. The judge issues the judgment. Judgment comes back into our office. We submit it back to the three credit bureaus first. It removes the 30-day lates, the 60s, and the 90s, takes the balance to zero, meaning no open liability, and more importantly, changes that end credit rating to a paid status. So now that's restored the integrity of the credit back at the three credit bureaus. The judgment now goes to MERS and withdraws the information out of MERS, allowing our client to come back in and repurchase.
Wow, that was a lot.
I know.
That was a lot.
That was a lot. It's good for people to know that.
So
that
what,
it's an alternative way to get your credit.
Absolutely. And I want to point this out. Clients don't have to use my firm. I mean, we just kind of developed it. We have over 750 victories, and we were pretty much the pioneers of this. But more importantly, clients need to understand, or consumers need to understand, that there are remedies. If you can imagine, you've been a homeowner, you did everything that the bank asked you to do, you didn't cause this, you're continuing to be damaged, you've lost your tax benefits, you've moved your children out of preferred schools, now you're moving into some crazy rental somewhere for 2 years, and now recently there's been an FHA underwriting guideline that says if you're requesting a loan over $417,000 and you've done a short sale, it's 4 years before you can come back into the market.
Four years.
Well, I have a question. I mean, what happens with a foreclosure? I mean, is this only for people that do short sales?
The only conditions, the courts came back about 6 months ago and made a determination that the credit inaccuracy does not outweigh the foreclosure action. So we were unable to do foreclosures any longer. Unless the property was listed for short sale, okay, and during the short sale, the property went to foreclosure. But the justices did come back and say in terms of short sales, the inaccuracy is continuing to damage the client, so therefore we're able to get these awards.
And is the inaccuracy and the damage that we're using. And one thing that I thought was important to note is you are going to small claims court.
Right.
So it is the borrower that shows up in court. Perhaps with a credit expert that you can provide, right? That
goes not even with, perhaps the way that we do it.
Perhaps,
well,
okay.
No, because we kind of made a mistake at the beginning. You know, small claims court, not allowed to have an attorney represent you.
Right.
So I would say to the client, Ryan, you know, by the way, I'm going to prepare all your evidence and I'm going to school you and teach you how to present it to the court. How do you feel about going to court? And your response to me is, I've been watching Judge Judy for 15 years. I'm ready to go. I say, great. I send you to court. You're on your own. Hold on. What is that? Yes, absolutely. Sorry about that. I was answering a question that was written to me. Now I completely lost my train of thought. Thanks a lot
Judge,
for that. All right, where
Judge
the heck was
Judge
I?
Judge Judy.
All
this? Judge Judy.
Oh, yeah,
you
Judge
got
Judy.
Paralegal.
Right. Yeah. So now I send a client to court on his own, and they stand before the judge, and people freeze up because they're not used to a public forum. Going to court is an upsetting thing. So the correction of that, as we've learned how to handle this process and become more and more effective at it, I actually send a very skilled paralegal from my firm to assist the client in this presentation to the court.
Well, that makes sense. That
yeah.
makes plenty of sense.
Yeah.
And so they've got some backup there. But what I think is important to note is not 100% of the cases end up going to court. You have two avenues of resolution prior to that. You mentioned
mediation.
Mediation. Mm-hmm. That's meeting right before.
Right before you go before the judge, you have the opportunity to mediate. And what we're experiencing now, again, because we've been at it, you know, successfully hundreds and hundreds of times, it's called a non-defensible position. There really is no defense for the bank. So when we go and we meet prior to going before the judge, we now meet with the bank's representative and we work out a settlement. And a settlement, and we're getting more and more and more of these now. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, PNC. I mean, it goes on and on and on, which is kind of cool. But the settlement essentially is this. Our client agrees not to sue the bank for damages resulting from the inaccurate credit reporting, and the bank agrees to remove all the negative information regarding the loan. It's
so
a great settlement.
Essentially, you've got the bank in checkmate.
Absolutely.
Based on the laws that have come out.
Absolutely. And if you kind of take a step back and you figure, you know, we're suing Bank of America, Wells Fargo, PNC, I mean, every multi-billion dollar bank, they have thrown everything at us left and right trying to knock us off track, and they haven't been able to do it.
Well, one thing that comes to mind is a lot of times the clients that I work with, you know, they've had this happen to them. It's a disaster. Maybe they don't have very much money right now, and their credit is damaged. How much does this cost? I mean, it sounds expensive.
Well, it depends on, you know, what your idea of expensive is. You know, we kind of played around with the fee, and long story short, what we calculated was I have my contemporaries, you know, attorneys are infamous for billing for the hours, and, you know, and they think that, you know, everybody's worth $1,000 an hour. Well, we had to make this affordable. So long story short, we came up with $2,875, and the way we calculated that was on about 22 hours of a paralegal's time to prepare the evidence to get our client ready to go to court. So we charged $2,875. $75. The additional fees are $96 for the filing fee with the court and $20 for each applicant on the loan for their credit report. And on top of that, just to give our community some comfort, because there have been so many crazy ideas out there, sue the bank to get the title back. We have yet to meet one person who's done that. Okay, loan modifications, which really aren't modifications, they're just simply reinstatements. So fortunately or unfortunately, this is the only vehicle to come back into the market. Our typical length of time is 120 days. So if you think about that, you know, you've gone through the agony of the short sale, 120 days, you're back in buying at today's rate and today's value.
So just kind of to sum this all up here, as I saw, there were three methods to get this corrected. One was simply a settlement via letter. I mean, some of the banks are simply mailing it in. Hey, we agree. We're not going to bother going to court. You don't have to go to court.
Right.
What percentage of time does the bank just mail it in?
Probably 3%.
3% of the time.
But remember, we started at 0%.
I got it.
So as the next 5 years of this crazy market exists, we hope to get that to about 85%. This is continually a work in progress.
It will continue to happen.
It requires my entire staff. And I was asked to say something. Okay, Jenny and Tracy and Adam and Kayla and Mona. Okay, did I get that out of the way? Okay. But I have a wonderful, wonderful, and Tommy, I have a wonderful, wonderful dedicated staff. We have thousands and thousands of hours of developing this process to assist our community, and we encourage people, do you want to come back in? This is the way to do it, the vehicle.
Okay, so this is what we want. 3% of the time, settlement via letter.
Right.
Bank mails it in. What percent of the time do we settle this thing in arbitration without going to court?
Probably 10% of the time.
So I'm going to court 3, 10, 87% of the time I'm going to court with your paralegal for somewhere around $3,000 for 120 days. It's off my credit. I'm out to buy a house.
And remember the significance of that. Everything we're doing by court order. We're not just writing a letter to a credit bureau and challenging information. So everything that we do is permanent, and it's forever, and it's substantiated by a judge's order, which is hugely important.
That's a great program.
Right.
And we're going to encourage everybody we can to get involved with
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, yeah. Mac. Man, you guys are, and you too, Mr. Pell.
I'll mention it.
All right, and Kylie. All right. I can't forget Kylie, my favorite partner.
Well, look, Morgan Stanley came out and said that they boldly came out and said that they expect home prices to go up by 6 to 9% year over year. Of the 211 banks that we're polling, the average suggests that we're going to have a 2% increase year over year. And that's nationally. Locally, we may be experiencing more. So, what we're finding is that people are able to put their house on the market properly and get it sold. So one of the things that we've always been doing when we sit down with a homeowner, because naturally when we sit down with a homeowner, we might walk through the house and there's things that we see that we know, because we see hundreds of homes need to be fixed before the house goes on the market. We simply give them a CD, which is 1, 2, 3 sold, which is a Prepare Your Home for Sale DVD. So what we're doing now is the first three people that call our hotline at 888-551-2593, that's the number, 888-551-2593. I'm going to leave three of these up at the desk at the front here. You guys can have these. It doesn't matter if your house is on the market or not. The reason why it's important to do this is because you don't get a second chance to give a first impression. Someone walks up to your house, it's got to look its best. And that's one of the reasons why we've invited Mr. Pell in the studio today to talk to us about what you can do to prepare that house so that we can take advantage of some of these prices that we're seeing our neighbors get right now. I mean, Mr. Pell, you're not just the average interior designer.
If you could excuse me, I think I'm going to call that number right now. So you keep introducing me. I want one of those CDs.
Too late. They're already gone.
Oh. Okay.
Well, wait. Before we get into that, we got to take a break. We're gonna come back in a few minutes, and we're gonna really dive into how we can make that house get top dollar in this marketplace.
I talk a lot about real estate on the show because real estate mistakes are very costly. Many of the people I hear from who are in bad situations with money have made at least one or more real estate mistakes in recent history. It's tough for me because I would have easily been able to help them avoid those mistakes if we had spoken sooner rather than later. This is why I urge anyone who is facing foreclosure, thinking about a short sale, or stuck in what I call the loan modification nightmare to call the Real Estate Helpline today and get some free and honest advice before doing anything.
You can also get a free home valuation and loan modification update as well. It's 888-888-0154. That's the phone number, 888-888-0154, or email online, MrCreditRadio.com.
If you have student loans, listen very carefully to this message. Student loan debt in America recently passed credit card debt as the number one debt held by Americans. The good news is Congress has taken action and there is now a program that can help you save money on your student loans. Call 877-927-6864 right now if you want to save money on your student loans. That's 877-927-6864. You can consolidate your student loans into one low monthly payment, get your deferment time renewed, and even get some of the principal balance forgiven in some cases. You can change the repayment plan as often as you need. There are experts in this program ready for your call. 877-927-6864. That's 877-927-6864. You can stretch your repayment term out from 10 years to as much as 30 years if you need. 877-927-6864 right now to save money on your student loans.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Radio Hour. We are here with Harold Pell, Mr. Pell from Pell Interiors, and we are also here with Eric Phillips with Georgian Law.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Diving right in, you know, we've talked about the real estate market. We talked about it appreciating. You know, now we're talking about extracting the most amount of money from the house that we're going to sell. And one of the things that I pointed out before we went on break was this 123 sold video that we've got that we're giving away. Three of these at the front desk when you call in our hotline, which is 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. We are here with Mr. Pell, a man in demand. And the reason why he's in demand is, I mean, you've been in San Diego Decor and Style Magazine, San Diego Magazine, San Diego Home and Garden Lifestyle, Omaha Magazine, is that right?
Omaha.
Omaha.
As in Omaha.
As in Omaha, right? I thought it was something in Hawaii. Better Homes and Gardens, and various newspapers, including the World Herald, Dallas Morning News, and the San Diego Union Tribune. So after 36 years, I mean, you know a little bit about interior design. So one of the things we want to know is, from a designer's perspective, what are some of the things that you recommend that homeowners can do to get top dollar for their house?
Okay, a real simple one is try to divorce yourself from all the years and the memories and everything that you have invested in your home and in your mind, and look at it as an item for transaction. Practically nobody can do that. It's easy
yeah,
to
it's
say
hard to
that.
Do.
Yeah, it's easy to say that, but you can't do it. So what do you do? Do you call your girlfriend next door or your workout buddy to come over and give you pointers? No, that's because she's your best girlfriend next door or he's your workout buddy. They're not going to give you truthful, you know, they want to stay your friend afterwards.
Sure.
They're not going to come in and say, your home sucks. So, I mean, you know, so hire a professional. Hire a professional or get a consultant. And right at the very beginning, look at the front door. Your first impressions that, you know, you were talking about, David. Look at the front door. Does the finish on it need to be repaired, scraped and repolyurethaned, or does the paint job need to be freshened?
Here's what happens. The agent looks at the MLS. They look at the pictures, right? That's the keystone in the marketing. They're going to make a decision to go show the property. So they've got 3 or 4 hours with their buyer. They're going to look at 3 or 4 houses, depending on the size of them. Mm-hmm. They show up, you know, they're hot and bothered, and the agent walks up there with their car, and they get to the door, and they bend over, and so the buyers are looking around like, whoa, you know, now they're looking at something they don't want to see, so they start looking around at the front door, and they start noticing things like cobwebs, dead flowers. They start noticing the little things, and right away, that impression is starting to form.
Look at the condition of the hardware on the front door. Is it all corroded and pitted, or is it a nice, fresh, new door handle? It's such a simple thing, but you're going to touch it. It will be the first thing you touch in that house.
Well, it's like an interview. You know, you walk up to a house, you're really going to take a look and see what the house has to offer. And if you see Frisbees on the roof and the lawn is in disrepair, I mean, it's not going to get top dollar.
No. And then also think about going along with that. Make it inviting. Have a seasonal wreath on the door or have some potted plants, summertime, autumn, a carved pumpkin, a snowman, whatever you're into, for whatever time of the year, just something that makes it, you know, visual entertainment. That's what I do for a living. I create image and visual entertainment.
Well, when someone walks in the house, you know, they want to walk into a controlled environment where it's nice and cool inside. You know, you want to uh-huh. create ambiance when you're in the house so that people feel like they're welcome.
Absolutely. When you walk in the front entry, you want that entry to be, I hate this, but it's a catchphrase, light and bright. Don't let your entry be dark and enclosing and cluttered. Keep that entry light and bright, and somewhere in that entry someplace, if you can put a long, full-length mirror framed hanging on a wall. Mirrors lighten a space. They make it look larger. Okay, those are simple answers, but there's something more behind that. You want that buyer to instantly walk in that entry and catch themselves in that mirror. All of a sudden, they're looking at themselves in that house. This could be my home. Mm-hmm. It's a stupid little trick, but it helps set the for the rest of the show. This could be my home.
In my experience, when I'm giving a home buyer the tour of the house, inevitably they'll stop and look at the pictures, and they'll see who lives in that property. And whether or not they should or not, they're making a judgment call on who lives in the community.
Remove all the family photos. Right. When you're going to sell your home, and this is the part where you need a professional consultant or a professional in there, remove all the personal items. The family photos, remove the, now that we're into an election year and whatnot, if you've got some political preferences, let's get them out of there too. I have a situation where clients just bought a home. Well, this was actually about 3 years ago. And an opposing party candidate had been in that home and had a fundraiser in that home. They almost didn't buy that house because they're not of that party. When we did buy that home, when the client did buy the home, we went through with one of those large rolled up things of sage, and it's an old American Indian
right?
thing, and got the opposing party out of the house.
Wow.
What do you mean that's the Indian thing? Don't you do that every morning, Ryan?
And then we had open bar after that, but
whatever the
that
stage
really sealed the deal.
That was it.
That's the most important thing you said right there.
You know,
open bar right next to the door.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
You know, I have fun clients. You know, but where were we, David? I got off on smoking the house.
Well, you know, you smoked the house, rid it of the bad political spirits,
the juju, whatever,
and you know. Another thing that I've noticed is a lot of times, you know, I'll walk through a home and people will have, you know, some of their ethnic background stuff. Like they might have elephants or things like that. Or some of the things that, you know, I've noticed that really are distinctly wrong are dead flowers, like drying, hanging dead flowers. Or, you know, sometimes people will get these Cabbage Patch dolls and, you know, there's things like that, you know, and you walk through the house and you're just like, are you kidding me?
Remove as much of those accessories as possible. You want the home to look very clean, very simple. The idea is if you're going to stage a home, sometimes existing clients of mine, they have a home that they want to sell. They'll say, you know, Harold, go over and stage the house for me. Know when to cut it off. You don't want to put everything into that home when you're staging it, just enough so that when the prospective buyer's coming through, they're looking at this thinking, well, you know, I would, you know, why isn't there any glassware or stemware at this place setting or any service Well, that's only because you want them to look at that and think in their minds, I can improve on this. When this is my home, what? Look how my glassware will look here. Or look how my placemats, you know, I don't like these placemats. Mine will look better. Don't ever top the seller. Or the buyer, I'm sorry. Don't ever top the buyer. Let them come in and think how this is going to be their home, and they're going to improve on it. That's otherwise, if everything is in place and it's done to death, which, trust me, as a designer here in San Diego, I have a reputation for doing it to death. I mean, it will be detailed out. But in a staging situation, I'm doing a real disservice to the to my client at that point. You want, if it's just overdone, the prospective buyer comes into that home and thinks, this is lovely. This is beautiful. I could never live here because I could never do this. I couldn't keep this up. I don't know how to reproduce this if I live here. And then you've defeated yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there is a fine line in, you know, designing right. I mean, I love the subtleties you're talking about, like leaving a little bit of room for improvement for that new buyer, taking the pictures off the wall so that they can visualize themselves when they're there.
Removing excess furniture that it wasn't excess when you lived there, but for the rooms and spaces to look larger, get them out. Go rent a storage space and move them out. Mm-hmm. Extra throw pillows, accent pillows, anything that can stop the eye from roaming and get it out. Just take it out of the room. Get it. Take it out of the house.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about staging your home for sale with Mr. Pell from Mr. Pell Interiors. If you'd like to talk to Mr. Pell about staging your home, believe me, we wouldn't have him on the show if we didn't back him up. We trust him. We've had him stage homes that we've had before, and he's got a real subtle approach, and I think an approach that makes sense. Call us 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593.
I would imagine you do some sort of consultation, right, Mr. Pell?
Yes, the initial consultation when you're meeting me is complimentary. There's no obligation. We are not going to actually talk about your design project or anything. You'll look at my portfolio. You'll look at my legal documents to hire me. And any questions that you might have at that time. And we just learn if there's chemistry between the two of us. At that point, once I'm on the payroll, you don't have to think of another thing.
Excellent. Well, that is the common thread with both of our guests. Mm-hmm. Free consultation, whether it be a credit report, look over a credit report, give you some idea of what you can do to fix it, be it remove short sale or who knows what. Free consultation, right, Georgian?
Absolutely. And I just want to say, Mr. Pell, those were excellent tips, and I need Bree in my office to go through and clean sweep all my McCarthy for President stickers out, okay? Because I thought that was really important. And my Cabbage Patch dolls. But aside from that, you know, I think our office is pretty good. So, Bree, if you're there.
I'll take them.
Yeah, I'll be back in an hour. But, yes, all kidding aside, these are very, very, very sensitive issues. Everybody has a different opinion about what's accurate, what's inaccurate, so on and so forth. Please contact my office, Georgian Law, 760-434-5400, 760-434-5400. Please call myself, get a hold of myself or Kylene. Let's review what your particular situation is. If you'd like, we'll be more than happy to review the advice that you've been given. We don't charge for this, and at least we can help you with your strategies and proposed strategies.
So the Real Estate Helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. 551-2593. Free consultation from both of our in-studio experts, Mr. Pell with Pell Design. Actually, you can find him also at pellinteriors.net, as well as Eric Phillips and Kylene Stemmons with Georgian Law. And Georgian is spelled G-E-O-R-G-G-I-N.
It's an odd spelling.
.com. Right. Also, you can reach us through my website, pricelesshome.com. All the information and links, click on the radio button. We will see you next week.
Thank you, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Very good job.
Thank you.